With Congress passing the $95 billion foreign aid package, it now heads to President Biden's desk. And a year after a deadly school shooting in Tennessee, lawmakers approve a bill allowing teachers to carry guns in school. The Morning Rundown starts now.
From the Straight Arrow News Studio, bringing the stories that matter to you from across the United States and around the world. This is the Morning Rundown.
Today is Wednesday, April 24th. Thank you for joining us. I'm Kara Rucker. A $95 billion foreign aid package now heads to the desk of President Joe Biden after the Senate overwhelmingly voted to pass the legislation late Tuesday night. Biden saying he will sign it today, sending aid to Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. Following the 79-18 vote, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said, "This shows America will never shrink from its responsibilities as a world leader."
America sends a message to the entire world. We will not turn our back on you. To our friends in Ukraine, America will soon deliver more ammunition and air defenses and basic supplies you need to resist Putin on the battlefield. To our friends in Israel, America will soon deliver aid to help you fight the scourge of Hamas and stand up to Iran. To innocent civilians in Gaza in the midst of a war, and to those around the world who face hunger, America will deliver food and medicine and clothing. And to our friends in the Indo-Pacific, we will stand with you to resist the Chinese Communist Party.
The package sends $60 billion of aid to Ukraine, $26 billion in assistance to Israel and humanitarian relief for Gaza, and $8 billion for Taiwan and the Indo-Pacific. In addition to the foreign aid, the package also includes a measure that could lead to the social media app TikTok being banned in the U.S. should its Chinese owner ByteDance not sell its stake in the platform within a year. TikTok says it's unfortunate Congress is using the cover of important foreign aid to pass the ban bill that would trample the free speech rights of 170 million Americans. Today is an off day in former President Donald Trump's criminal trial in New York. David Pecker, the former publisher of the National Enquirer tabloid newspaper, is set to return to the stand on Thursday, following his testimony yesterday, where he described his part in catch-and-kill deals involving Trump and his one-time attorney, Michael Cohen. According to Pecker, he worked with Cohen to buy negative stories about Trump during the 2016 election in a move to bury them. During his two-and-a-half-hour testimony, Pecker revealed to the jury he had met with Trump and Cohen in 2015, where he told them he'd act as Trump's eyes and ears during the campaign, saying he agreed to publish positive stories about Trump while focusing on negative stories about his opponents. Pecker said Cohen acted as the middleman between him and Trump, pitching stories to Pecker about other candidates, including Senator Ted Cruz. Then the Enquirer would embellish those stories. Day six of the trial began with a hearing on the judge's gag order barring Trump from making public statements about witnesses, jurors, prosecutors, and court staff, with the prosecution alleging Trump violated the order 10 times and seeking a $1,000 fine for each violation. Trump's lawyers argued the former president has not violated the gag order, saying Trump's statements in question were in response to a barrage of political attacks against him. The judge did not make an immediate ruling following more than an hour of deliberations. After a midnight deadline for an agreement to clear a campus encampment by pro-Palestinian protesters came without a resolution, the university announced early this morning the deadline has been extended by 48 hours after constructive dialogue with the students. A university spokesperson saying protesters have committed to dismantling a number of tents, agreed that only Columbia students will participate in the protest, and are taking steps to make the encampment welcome to all. The midnight deadline was imposed by Columbia President Manoush Shafiq in a letter to the campus community late Tuesday night. In the letter, Shafiq wrote that should the negotiations not be successful to clear the encampment set up 5 days ago, alternate options would be considered to clear the West Lawn and restore calm to campus. The deadline comes about a week after New York police officers were called in regarding another encampment where more than 100 arrests were made. In her letter, Shafiq said the protesters at the West Lawn have been peaceful, but the encampment at times creates a hostile environment for many members of the university, adding it is, quote, essential we move forward with a plan to dismantle it. Shortly after the original midnight deadline passed, a group of Columbia student negotiators released a statement saying the university threatened to send in the National Guard. Governor Kathy Hochul said early Tuesday she had no plans to send the National Guard to campus. Tennessee lawmakers have passed a bill allowing school staff to carry concealed handguns on school grounds in an effort to enhance school safety. The measure was approved by a 68-28 vote in the Tennessee House a year after a shooting at a Nashville Covenant school that killed three children and three adults. The bill now heads to Governor Bill Lee's desk, where he could either sign it or allow it to become a law without his signature. Supporters argue the legislation serves as a deterrent to potential threats and requiring staff to undergo 40 hours of training and mental health evaluations. Critics say it inappropriately responds to school shootings by introducing more guns into the environment. At least 26 other states allow school employees to be armed. In a 3-2 vote Tuesday, the Federal Trade Commission voted to ban non-compete agreements nationwide, impacting an estimated 30 million workers. This rule prohibits new non-compete clauses and nullifies existing ones, except for certain high-earning senior executives. The FTC estimates that banning non-compete agreements could boost wages by nearly $300 billion annually. While supporters applaud the decision as a victory for worker rights, opponents, including the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, argue it threatens to undermine the protection of trade secrets and competitive edge. The FTC's ban is expected to be challenged in court. Finally, this morning, after Tesla reported its biggest drop in revenue in over a decade, CEO Elon Musk looked to give investors some positive news by promising production of new affordable EV models by early next year. While details like how many will be made and the price point were not revealed, the announcement led the stock to jump 13% in after-hours trading. Tesla reported a 9% drop in sales year over year for the first quarter of 2024, its biggest decline since 2012, with revenue dropping to about $21 billion from $23 billion a year earlier. In his call with investors, Musk also spoke of Tesla's investments in artificial intelligence, plans to unveil robo-taxis, and said the company is in talks with one major automaker regarding licensing its full self-driving assistance system. These are your top stories for this Wednesday. Unbiased, straight facts. That's Straight Arrow News. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Until then, I'm Kara Rucker. Have a great day.